Okay, I'd like to call to order the meeting and recognize the secretary to determine a quorum.
Chair Evans?
Here.
Vice Chair Crawford?
Here.
Vice Chair Corcoran?
Here.
Director McMillan?
Here.
Director Price?
Here.
Director Goldman?
Here.
Director Dorsey?
Here.
Director Horner? Mr. Chairman, you have a quorum.
Thank you. First item on the agenda is the approval of the agenda. I'd like to move approval. Is there a second? Discussion of the agenda? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes for May 24th, 2018 board meeting, June 14th, 2018 special board meeting, May 24th, 2018 executive session, and June 14th, 2018 executive session. So I'd like to move the approval of the minutes for these meetings. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? The ayes have it. Next item on the agenda is public comment. We appear to have three people signed up. We'll begin with Tino Calabria, if I pronounced that correctly. Welcome to the Metro Board meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, Bill. Here,
Pull it closer
and talk louder if you can.
Okay. I am a member of the Accessibility Advisory Committee, your advisory committee, but this morning I'm speaking personally. The advisory committee will be represented by Denise Rush, who will present the advisory committee's report to you for the month. I'm here because the important issue of the security barriers came up, and apparently the Federal Transit Authority contacted you about their concern that not enough has been done regarding the security barriers, and as a result there have been accidents and a recent accident, and you responded to them last week. I only learned about it not from you all or staff or other members of the committee. I learned about it by way of a friend who heard about it on WTOP radio. And the friend mentioned it to me, and I was a little startled, but glad that something might happen from it. On the other hand, I then shared it with the other members of the advisory committee, who also had not heard about it. And so I was disappointed in not hearing it from you. I think the advisory committee is a member of the family, so to speak, your family. And just as I would be maybe shocked but disappointed if my uncle or aunt or my sister or brother had been injured and no one in the family told me, but I learned about on WTOP radio, I think you can understand why I or other members of the committee would be. And so I'm asking that if in the future, if you could at least carbon copy us when you respond to FTA on such matters, or in some way improve communications with us. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much for your comments. Next item in the agenda, or next individual is Carol Thomas. Okay, Mr. Thomas, welcome to the Metro Board meeting. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Carol Thomas, third vice president of OCA, I'm here this morning to ask you, Metro Board, take a look at what's going on with Mr. Weirfield and Willie Tappas, his administration. They've taken the custodians, they have removed them from the facilities, forced them to the rail stations, going against our collective bargaining agreement. He has a responsibility to abide by that collective bargaining agreement. By forcing these folks into those places, they pick for those folks, they sign those folks' names to those picked places, and they force them into those. They've been now starting to discipline these employees for not showing up in those locations. Section 312 of our collective bargaining agreement is they have a right to pick those locations. We also are asking you to charge of going through our contract to pay attention to what's going on against our contract by this administration. These bullying tactics, morale of the employees are so low, while this system is very low. The young man, the operator, who's driving the bus with a lady, got on TV, and Metro released the tape. The lady said the operator beat her up. We looked at the tape. They never shot the operator. They fired the operator. We asked him to release the tape to show what really happened, how she planned and went behind the bus stand and waited for that operator to get off that bus and do something, do liquid on him. And I asked him, the question was, if she had thrown bleach in his face, would you still terminate? They terminated. All he did was did his job. This is time and time again, this is happening to these local members here. We're asking you, the Metro Board, you have a responsibility to pay attention to what's going on, to dig into this contract, to come out and find out what's going on with these members. Get around and ask some of the managers how they feel about what's going on. They've come here, they've changed the culture, but you still have to shut down after shut down after shut down. Ladies and gentlemen of the board, you have a responsibility to address these issues, to sit down with Local 689. If not, Metro and this board, you give us no alternative but to collectively address this issue. We will. We will take further action. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Thomas. And last, Malcolm Augustine. Mr. Augustine, welcome to the Metro Board. And as we all know, Mr. Augustine represents Maryland on the board as an alternate.
Thank you, Chair Evans. I just come, as I shared with you all, privately in our meetings, that I strenuously object to changes in the bylaws that you are contemplating, which will basically circumvent the compact which governs this body in a way that Virginia is holding all of us hostage in the process of going to disenfranchise the people of Prince George's County I represent by reducing the role with regard to voting as it stands right now. I will do everything in my power to continue to represent the people of Prince George's County, and we are not yet sure how this ends up fitting. And I know that we will work together to do that so that we can still meaningfully represent all the people we have. But we have joint jurisdictional and WMATA who share responsibility. I hear that this change will absolutely negatively impact the ability of this board to execute on those things. I also think this is a slippery slope that responding to Virginia for a portion of their funding, which, by the way, if they did not provide that, that would be less service in Virginia. This is their jurisdictional portion that they're talking about. So what is to say that next session that the people of Virginia decide that they want to change it yet again? Is the board going to continue to make those kinds of changes every time? I think that you're going down the wrong path.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Augustine. That concludes our public comment. The next item on the agenda is a report by the Accessibility Advisory Committee and Ms. Rush. Ms. Rush, welcome to the Metro Board meeting.
Good morning, Chairman Evans.
Good morning.
My name is Denise Rush. Chair Evans. Chair of Access Subcommittee. I wish that we talked about last month for us. The area
lot of us.
Thank you, Ms. Rush. Any questions for Ms. Rush? No questions, but your comments are very, very helpful, and we really appreciate your input into this. And General Manager will have an opportunity to get back to you on some of these questions, okay? Thank you. Okay, the next item on the agenda is the Riders Advisory Council. Mr. Fogel, I was told he may not be here today. So Mr. Fogel is not here, so we'll move on to the next item, which is the report by the chair. So good morning, everyone, and good news this week. Actually, on Tuesday, the District of Columbia City Council approved our final vote on our budget, our $14.5 billion budget, which includes dedicated funding for Metro. So we now join Maryland and Virginia in making this historic commitment to the Washington Metropolitan Area Transit Authority's system, America's subway system. So I'm very pleased with that. I want to thank the region for answering the call for dedicated funding. Again, Maryland, Virginia, the district, the leadership in all of those areas, and frankly, all the board members here, business community, everyone who got together. And important, our staff here at Metro, all of our employees who work so hard for us every day. As you know, the funding is critical to ensuring a safe, reliable, and affordable Metro, and we're looking forward to getting to that state. Next, I want to remind customers to plan for two upcoming summer capital improvement projects. We'll keep Metro on its current path of improved safety and reliability. Starting next month, the work will impact customers who use the red, orange, blue, and silver lines. Metro is scheduling the work for late summer when ridership is generally lighter. You can visit WMATA.com for more information about commuting during these capital improvement times. And that concludes my report. So I'd like to turn now to the General Manager, Mr. Wiedefeld.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. I did want to pick up on that. I did want to talk a little bit about projects that are coming up this summer and also some initiatives that we have been working on recently that the customers are starting to experience. First and foremost, on the Wi-Fi and cellular phone updates, we're pleased to bring to the board's attention that the ongoing progress and the experience for our trains for Wi-Fi and cellular service. As of tomorrow, all underground stations will have free Wi-Fi available for customers. When you're in a station, just go to the Wi-Fi setting on your device and choose the Metro Public Network. It's free and easy to connect. The next step is to install free customer Wi-Fi in our above-ground stations. So we'll be getting that this July, and we expect to have free Wi-Fi available in the remaining 40 stations by the end of the year. As we've done throughout the duration of the project, as the Wi-Fi service becomes available online or by station, we will turn it on. Also, we continue to advance the underground cellular project and work with the wireless carriers to bring new segments up as they are ready as well. The latest segment activated is between Benning Road, Tunnel Portal, and Largo Town Center Station. This tunnel segment covers approximately 5.4 miles of metro tunnels in each direction. With this segment, the Blue and Silver Line customers now have underground cellular service from Metro Center all the way out to Largo Town Center. This marks about one-third of the project being done in the tunnels, and we are continuing to work very hard to get that completed. I did want to follow up also on some of the major summer capital projects, again, just to make sure our customers are aware and the public's aware. Beginning Saturday, July 21st, and continuing through Labor Day, Monday, September 3rd, we will complete the structural repairs at Rhode Island Avenue, our oldest outdoor station. During that time, Rhode Island Avenue and Brookland stations will be closed. I'm pleased to report that our team has worked closely with the district and the impact to neighborhoods to come up with a comprehensive mitigation plan that looked outside of what might be considered the normal travel alternatives. For example, DDOT will create a pop-up dedicated bus lane along Rhode Island Avenue from North Capitol to 12th Street to speed up local bus routes and shuttle service. When it comes to the bus shuttles, we are also offering more than just the local shuttles between the closed stations. We are also providing express shuttles to take customers from Brookland and Rhode Island Avenue stations to the areas of Metro Center, Gallery Place, and Union Station. The second major project this summer takes place will be where we will rebuild the sharpest and most heavily traveled curve in the Metro Rail system, and that's between Metro Center and Smithsonian stations, requiring 2 weeks of single tracking on the blue, orange, and silver lines. Customers who normally use these lines are strongly encouraged to find another way, as rail service will be significantly reduced. Clearly, we understand the inconvenience these projects cause our customers, so we have scheduled the work during the lowest traffic periods and with the fastest way possible. We will continue to conduct extensive outreach as these projects get closer to implementation. Mr. Chairman, that concludes my remarks at the time.
Thank you, Mr. Wiedefeld. Any questions for the general manager? Okay. Seeing none, the next item on the agenda is the report by the Business Oversight Committee. Mr. Price.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. The following items were referred to the board at its June 14th meeting of the Business Oversight Committee. The slate of officers under the compact, the board is required to organize annually. The Business Oversight Committee has put forward the following slate of officers. As Chairman, Jack Evans. Vice Chair, Clarence Crawford. Second Vice Chair, Jim Corcoran. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move approval.
Second.
Okay, a motion has been made. There's been a second. Any discussion? See none.
Whoa. We got some amendments out here. Not for election. I'm sorry. I'm so preoccupied on that aspect.
Mr. Crawford.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. Just wanted to, from a governance standpoint, that one of the things I think we could take a look at is the to make sure that we have proper jurisdictional representation, that we make sure we take a look at terms, how long people are doing this, how long the particular jurisdictions hold positions. And to the extent that we can have continue to make sure that we have valid jurisdictional representation, but not sacrifice expertise and skill. So that's the one thing I would like to see us do, is to make sure that as we go forward, that this is clear in the way that we will handle nominations and elections in the future. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Crawford. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Any abstentions?
Aye.
Okay. The ayes have it. Mr. Price?
Thank you very much. I was so eager to get to this piece here. I kind of lost my place here. The revision of the board bylaws, the committee approved the revisions to the board bylaws. These revisions restate when alternate directors participate in and vote at board and board committee meetings, and will provide the chair with flexibility in appointing standing and other committees. I would also note that at the June 14th meeting, the proposed bylaws were amended to increase the number of members on the Joint Coordinating Committee, which is referred to as the JCC, to up to 8 members per jurisdiction. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move approval of these provisions on the bylaws.
Okay, thank you. Is there a motion that's been made? Is there a second? The motion's been made and second. Any discussion?
Right.
Mr. Goldman?
Thank you. I have an amendment to amend the bylaw provisions dealing with committees. This is Article 3, and all members have a copy of the current version of the amendment. What that amendment would do is to preserve in the what's in the existing bylaws, and that is the discussion and the provisions that deal with the duties and responsibilities of the existing 4 standing committees: finance and budget, safety and service delivery, business oversight, and capital and strategic planning. What the committee has recommended is that those provisions be deleted from the revision to the bylaws. So I'll wait for a second, and then I'd like to explain some other provisions as to why I favor this amendment.
Okay, Mr. Goldman has made an amendment. Is there a second?
I will second that, Mr. Chairman.
It's been made and seconded. Discussion, Mr. Goldman.
Thank you. Let me just make 3 points in support of this amendment. First of all, as I said before, what this amendment does, it preserves the status quo. It preserves the existing structure that's in the bylaws as to committees and what are the duties of committees. What we're doing today is principally making bylaw amendments required by the Virginia legislation, the Virginia legislation that Member Augustine referred to in his remarks a few minutes ago. There's nothing in the Virginia legislation that requires us to gut our present structure of committees, and nothing that requires us to do it today before June 30th. So while I agree that there may be a need to reconsider the committee structure going forward, we should do this in a more comprehensive, in a more structured, in a more timely manner, where we all have an opportunity to have input in the process and not eliminate that committee structure today. Second of all, the board last year adopted this committee structure after much time and effort that was involved as we revised the committee structure from an old system of 7 or 8 committees to this new one of 4. I think the 4 committee structure has worked well for us over the past year, and it's not something that we should abandon without further conversation among the 8 of us, and I don't think that's a conversation that anybody wants to have today. I do agree that Virginia legislation presents problems for the board and board governance going forward, and that the committee structure that I propose to continue would require that there be 4 members of the committee, so each of the 8 voting members would have to serve on 2 committees. I don't think that's a burden. That was the structure of the board committee structure. Before we adopted this structure 2 years ago, board members served on 2 committees, usually some serving on 3. And it was a structure that and an amount of workload that board members were prepared to undertake that worked well for many years. So I don't see any burden on board members until we come up with a better structure, serving on these 4 committees and serving each on 2 committees. So with that, I would urge my colleagues to support this amendment and retain for the current period the status quo in this structure of the 4 standing committees. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Goldman. Further discussion? Go ahead.
So I actually support the continuation of the status quo, but I don't think that this amendment actually is necessary to achieve that. The bylaws without this amendment allows the chairman to designate the committees, and I think that the chairman would be amenable to continuing what we have moving forward until we have a deliberative process to determine what's going to work better with this new reality. I don't think we have the ability at the table at this time to know exactly what's going to work well moving forward. So taking a little bit of time and working with our business oversight committee to come up with a deliberative plan, to me, seems the best way to go. So I appreciate Mr. Goldman wanting to make sure we don't throw everything out that we have done. I don't think we have to do that. I don't think the bylaws as proposed require that. And if we commit to that today, then I think we can accomplish what it is, the spirit of what Mr. Goldman is proposing.
Okay, Mr. Corcoran.
I think Christian said a lot of what I was going to say, but I'd like to add that the proposed bylaws do not require the abandonment of these committees. They provide the flexibility in order to continue with these committees and or tweak those committees to make them more efficient for the new 8-person operating system.
Okay, thank you. Further discussion? Okay. All right. Mr. Goldman's amendment to the Mr. Price's motion is before us. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Okay. All opposed? Nay.
No.
The vote is 6-2 against, so the amendment fails. Okay. Mr. Price's original motion is before us. Any further discussion? Seeing none.
Jack,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Jim?
Yeah. I would like to make
oh, you have another amendment. I'm sorry.
Amendment.
Yeah, go ahead.
I also would like to propose an amendment to the proposed bylaws in Article 3, Paragraph 3, in relation to the composition of the committees. And I would like to request that we change the wording in the last sentence from staff members, members of advisory bodies, consultants, alternate directors, and other parties may be invited to make presentations at committee meetings, or instead of participate in committee discussions, change participate in to contribute to committee discussions.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? The ayes have it. Okay.
Can you record abstentions?
Oh, I'm sorry, abstentions?
Abstain.
Mr. Goldman abstains. Any further discussion on Mr. Yes, Mr. Goldman?
Yes, I do have some further discussion. I would like to just pick up and use my time to carry on what my colleague, Mr. Augustine, was making reference to, which is why Maryland finds these bylaw changes, which are required by the Virginia legislation, so objectionable at this time. I think we have three types of concerns and objections with what we're being forced to do. First, Virginia has used the threat of withholding operating and capital funds from WMATA to get its way to effectively amend the interstate compact without Maryland's agreement. And that's not the way compacts should be amended. As was alluded to by my colleague, Mr. Augustine, it's a dangerous precedent that may come back to bite Maryland, Virginia, I should say, down the road. Should Maryland pass similar kinds of WMATA legislation that Virginia may not like? Second, the argument that eliminating the alternates' participation in board meetings and that reducing all board decisions to 8 voting directors will improve board governance is a phony. It was always the case that board decisions were made by the 8 voting directors. What we have lost in this process with these amendments is the expertise in various fields that alternates provide in committee settings and in the metro environment overall. I would point to Bob Lauby's safety expertise, the man who's in charge of safety for the Federal Railroad Administration, Malcolm Augustine's advocacy for his Prince George County constituents, and the expertise that Leif Dormjo, the former District Department of Transportation Director and former Deputy Secretary of Transportation in Maryland, brought to our deliberations over the past year. If Virginia wants to reduce participation by the Virginia alternates, that's Virginia's business. But when it takes away the effectiveness of Maryland's 2 alternates, that's Maryland's business, and we must object to it. The Maryland alternates are the local representatives of Montgomery and Prince George's counties. They represent their county's interest now, and that interest is being taken away from them, and not by our choice. The problem for Maryland is compounded and becomes worse next year when the Maryland law change takes effect that makes our DOT secretary or his designee one of the two Maryland voting directors on this board, and the other voting director switches for a term between Maryland, between Montgomery and Prince George's County. Next year, as a result, Prince George's County will lose its longstanding and valuable representation of any kind on this board. Mr. Crawford will leave as a voting director, and his Prince George's County alternate will not be an effective representation for Prince George's County on committee matters or in metro matters overall. This is a result that should not be imposed upon Maryland by Virginia. For now, we will vote for these odious bylaw changes because the vote against them would be to veto and endanger Virginia's dedicated funding obligation, which we are not prepared to do today. But mark my word, we will continue to fight on multiple fronts to restore the position of the WMATA alternate to one that can participate in committee business and be in a position with responsibility and status that will attract citizens to serve as WMATA board alternates, at least in Maryland. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Goldman. Further discussion? Mr. Price's original motion is before us. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Any abstentions? Yes, I'm sorry, as amended by Mr. Corcoran. All right, we'll take it again. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Any abstentions? All right, the motion passes. All right, next item on the agenda is the consent agenda and the approval of antenna lease agreements. So let's see what this is. Staff requests the board to approve to execute certain antenna lease agreements which require Metro to identify the landlord, the landlords. These lease agreements will allow Metro to upgrade its emergency management radio system. So I'd like to move this at this time. Is there a second? Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. The last item on the agenda is the reports by various jurisdictions from the District of Columbia. I want to again take this opportunity to thank Metro and its entire staff and all of our employees for the terrific job they did during the Washington Capitals playoff series. Metro, in many ways, was like one of our finest hours. We were able to transport literally tens of thousands of people on various game nights and during the parade, and it was done without a hitch. And I had never had so many compliments to Metro's performance as I have had over the last several weeks. So, again, it would not have been possible without all of our employees who really went the extra yard to make this happen. So thank you very much on behalf of a grateful region for everything that you did. And go Caps. Maybe we'll get the Nationals to do the same. That's my report. We'll go on to Mr. Crawford from WSTC.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to report that I am the chairman-elect that will begin in July, and I too would like to compliment Metro and its staff on the fine job that it's been doing in terms of improving reliability and improving safety. So we're very happy with that. We're planning a series of public hearings. We'll have more information on that to come, but again, we are very pleased with Metro and the performance and the efforts of the leadership and the employees of Metro carrying out their responsibility.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. And before I go to NVTC, I'd like to welcome Mr. Dorsey. Christian Dorsey is now a voting member of the Metro principal. And although you've been on the board for a while, welcome to your newest position. So thank you for being here. So, Mr. Yes.
We'll do that as part of the report.
Okay. So NVTC, Mr. Corcoran.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and also congratulations on the performance during the Stanley Cup Quest. And looking forward to the All-Star Game as well, and I know there's a meeting later today on that will take place, but Metro has shined during this time of national exposure. I also want to congratulate Christian. The Northern Virginia Transportation Commission had a retreat last week, and in compliance with the new requirements moving to the 8-person board, Kathy Hudgens decided to step aside, and Christian was elected by the commission to serve as a voting member. So, Christian, congratulations. Kathy, I know you're here. Kathy, if you could stand and be recognized. Kathy is certainly the longest-serving voting member up until this past Friday, and certainly served as inspiration to me in the time that I've spent here. Kathy, thank you so much for your service to not only Metro, but to the community as well. So please join me in thanking Kathy. And with that, I conclude my remarks, Mr.
Okay,
Chairman.
Okay, thank you very much.
Christian, did you want to add anything?
If I could, I just wanted to make mention that Ms. Hudgens will continue as an alternate, and I think that is certainly to all of our benefit. We are grateful for that continuation. She has been a mentor to me and also a stalwart transit advocate in the region, having served as this organization's chair for a couple of years, its vice chair. She's been recognized from the state as the public official of the year by the Virginia Transit Association. I think, as you alluded to, Mr. Corcoran, she has been a mentor to us, both through direct knowledge, but also through a stellar example. So I am hoping to occupy the seat with as much talent as you did. And if I could also just say, to speak to some of the larger issues that have surrounded WMATA for the last several months, clearly, optically, the big change that we have is that this table has shrunk in half. And functionally, that's really not the biggest deal in the world, that there are only eight people who are sitting at the board table. But behind that, there's a significant change, one of which that I think just needs to be acknowledged, as it has by Maryland. But I'd like to acknowledge it in my own way, because up until last week, I was one of those alternates. And it's very clear that the directors that I'm now joining are a talented, committed group who are focused on supporting the Metro staff and continuing this organization's focus on safety and its return to being the crown jewel of the region that we can all be proud of. But I think it's also equally true that the alternate directors who participated fully in committees are also equally talented, committed, and focused on the same priorities. And what we have moving forward is a sidelining of them from full committee participation in a way that's ultimately not going to serve this board well, it's not going to serve this agency well, and it's not going to serve the public well. And I think that we should just take an opportunity to recognize that the contributions, both in terms of time, but also in guiding efforts conducted by Mr. Marudian and Mr. Bolger from the district, Mr. Smedberg, and now Ms. Hudgens from Virginia, and Mr. Augustine and Ms. Porter from Maryland, and Mr. Lobby, who I don't think is here today, and Mr. Costa representing the federal government. These are tangible, real contributions that somehow we're going to have to backfill. And that's a very difficult challenge for us moving forward, and hopefully we will devote our sincere energies into seeing that we can at least not completely sideline the many talents that they bring to the agency.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Dorsey. From the federal government, Mr. McMillan.
After all that, I hesitate to say no report.
Well said. Okay. Where's my last sheet, which I gave back to you? Hold on. There you find it. I can't see. It's there, the last sheet. It's the executive committee sheet. I'll find it. Where's that stuff I gave?
Huh? Maybe my report should have been longer.
Hang on, everybody. We'll find it. Oh, here it is. All right, here we go. In accordance with the bylaws, I, Jack Evans, request that the Board of Directors convene an executive session to discuss the following matters pursuant to Article 2, Paragraph 9, Subsection B, litigation, investigations, and other legal matters requiring the provision of legal advice or consultation with counsel and staff members. So I'd like to move this at this time. Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye. Aye. Opposed? Any abstentions? Okay. With that, the meeting's adjourned. We'll see everybody upstairs.